Can you help me find a book about mothers? This question came from Mariella during her buddy readers session. Sure, her buddy reader Katie replied, but usually you want to read about animals or Baby Yoda. How come you want to read a book about mothers? My mom's been hitting me and telling me not to cry, and now she's left. Mariella became upset and didn't know what to do. Fortunately, she was one-on-one that day with a buddy reader volunteer who did know what to do. Katie got in touch with me via text and continued reading with Mariella while I connected with her teachers and administrators. The family social work team headed right over to her house and got immediate help for Mariella and her three siblings. And, amazingly enough, all this happened online. If ever students and their families felt at loose ends, this past year was it. Despite these troubles, Mariella was fortunate. She goes to a good school with caring teachers and administrators and social workers. And she had the additional support of a caring buddy reader. Last week, Reverend Seeley spoke about family vacations and personal journeys, about how all our planning, despite all our planning, stuff happens. The unexpected takes place, and the things we've planned so carefully for don't always happen. Things sometimes fall apart. And really, isn't that the story of this past year and a half? So many things we had carefully planned for and carefully built up over so many years just disappeared in a flash. Suddenly, there we were as buddy readers, volunteers who had always come into schools with puppets and books, who sat down together for an hour one-on-one with our little buddies, who gave and received high fives, fist bumps, and nice warm hugs. All that disappeared overnight. What to do? Well, we went back to our origins, our mission, which is simply to build our little buddies' reading confidence through support and encouragement. Support and encouragement. Could we possibly retool ourselves and do this online? We figured that if ever students, teachers, and families needed support and encouragement, this was the year. We simply couldn't not do this. After many discussions, Zoom workshops, and lots of personal practice, I was convinced that I could make the switch into the virtual world with buddy readers. What we discovered along the way was heartache, hard work, passion, community, and ultimately, spoiler alert, joy. A year ago, I stood before you in this same t-shirt that proudly announces, here it is, I will teach you in a room, I will teach you now on Zoom. I was absolutely convinced that I could figure out how to switch buddy readers to a virtual environment. I was excited and upbeat, certain that everything would work out just fine. Fast forward to a month later, during my first Zoom practice session with our buddy readers in August. To say things fell apart is an understatement. We all struggled to find the correct logins and passwords, and then the right buttons to push at the right time. And here's the big finale. After a month of carefully putting all kinds of resources and documents into a Google folder, I proudly announced to the group, and here are all the resources you can use with your little buddies. I clicked to share my folder, and wham, bang, it was completely empty. Every document I had so carefully pulled together was simply gone, missing, nowhere to be found. I calmly told the group that I would find all the resources, that I could certainly reconstruct everything, and explained that we would need to come back to experience all of these wonderful resources during our next practice session. We said goodbye, I closed out Zoom, and then I promptly melted into a puddle of tears on the floor. All I wanted to do was throw a major tantrum, kicking and screaming my way past all this craziness. A few sobs later, I figured out what had happened. With help from a terrific volunteer who had simply moved the documents into her own space because I had not put on the proper controls. I took a breath, quite a few deep breaths, and all of us kept moving forward, slowly, haltingly, with many mistakes along the way. But we were able to keep going together. The bottom line was this. I really had no idea whether this could work. Could our volunteers do this? Would we have enough volunteers? Would parents sign their kids up? Would kids actually show up? Would Zoom do what we needed it to do and not crash? And of course, why the heck would anyone do this? Have you ever noticed that sometimes magic happens when we're down and out, when we least expect it, when we really don't know for sure which way to turn or what to do? Ultimately, what did happen, in retrospect, was magical. My documents came back. Most of our veteran buddies decided to stay and work online. And service scholars and first-generation scholars from St. John Fisher College needed online service placements. They offered both technical know-how and terrific enthusiasm. Today's gospel shows us how we can go on, how we can teach, even when everything seems to be falling apart, when the center does not hold. Jesus and his disciples were probably at that meltdown point. They were exhausted, and all they wanted to do was find a quiet place to rest. Yet somehow, Jesus found the strength to carry on, and somehow, so did we. We simply kept moving, step by step, inch by inch. The pandemic provided us with a question. How do we continue trying to create a beloved community without touch, without hugs, without that immediate physical presence of each other? Our beliefs about kids, teachers, and families proved more important than technology. The technology simply served to allow us to continue our work. What Zoom gave us was a tool to build a different way of being in a community. Not up close, but sometimes even more personal. We invited our little buddies into our homes, and they invited us into theirs. We met their parents, their grandparents, their siblings, sometimes their step-parents and cousins, their pets, and even their stuffed animal collections and their toys. And they met ours, too, especially our friendly cats who marched right across our keyboards. Much more than ever before, our little buddies and their families became a part of our worlds, and we became a part of theirs. We met many fathers who had just come off the night shift and were helping their children get online for the day. We saw bedrooms decorated all in pink, and others with a sheet tacked up to cover the windows. We saw some children who had just rolled out of bed, still in their jammies, with tousled hair. Others were already fully dressed with beautifully braided hair and bows. We heard families encourage each other and their children, and we occasionally overheard arguments and heated discussions. We saw kids persevere too. struggling to use limited technology to keep up with their schoolwork and to be able to read with us. Author Stephen Pressfield recommends, put your bum where your heart wants to be. FYI, Pressfield did not use the word bum. Our volunteers did just that. They put their bums where their hearts were. They saw that the important thing was to create, to keep trying to create a community, in whatever messy form it takes, in whatever way we could. Despite the absence of being physically together, last year we were able to somehow not just survive. Buddy Readers actually thrived during the pandemic. We ran as many as 14 sessions per week with a total of 91 volunteers from Spiritus and St. John Fisher College. We served more than 60 students and families in three different city schools. Most students chose to come to two or more sessions per week. Some came to as many as six or even seven sessions. And Buddy Readers took place during the children's free time. One parent wrote us that Buddy Readers is truly what kept my daughter going this year. Another parent said that his son looked forward each week to Tuesday evening, but because he knew the next day he would get to see his Buddy Readers, George and Dave. Marianne, a fourth grader, needed a lot of practice with her Buddy Reader, Libby. She told me, I love Miss Libby because she tells me I'm doing good. And Marianne worked really, really hard to improve her reading. Her buddy, Libby Ford, stated, while this was, without a doubt, the hardest year ever for the Buddy Readers, it was also the year it was most needed. I really don't know how parents, teachers, and kids managed to do it all this year, keeping track of multiple schedules and assignments online, trying to keep Chromebooks alive and working, handling the meltdowns and the fears that financial and health and food insecurity can bring. And on a smaller level, I'm not always sure just how we Buddy Readers kept going either, but we did. Somehow and in some ways much different than we thought we would. And we came out better for it. We were changed by this pandemic because we were blessed to be in the presence of children, of families who may sometimes struggle but who care deeply about their kids. And we were blessed because we were in the presence of each other. One of our volunteers, Judy Lathrop, told me that the most important thing she found this year was the joy of working with small children. Together, we found what poet Victoria Safford called the place from which you glimpse not only the struggle, but joy in the struggle. In this coming school year, we have an incredible opportunity to serve Rochester's children. Will you come and join us? If you can't commit to a regular reading session, please consider other ways you can help. We have many other projects that could use your help. We need you. Please watch the bulletin in August for announcements on how to sign up. And in the meantime, please hang on to those children's books until you see our notice in the bulletin. We just don't have space to take in any books quite yet. President Theodore Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have, where you're at. But do it. Get going. I can't promise you all the details of what will happen in this new school year. We imagine that we will be both online and in person. Few things are nailed down and certain yet. But I can promise you one thing, joy in the struggle. I'd like to now introduce you to one of our wonderful Buddy Readers from St. John Fisher College. He's George Von Keeley. He is a graduate of East Ridge High School and is a first-generation scholar at St. John Fisher College. George is a sophomore and is enrolled in St. John Fisher's nursing program. George gave me a lift over here today, and I noticed, yep, he's a nurse, heading into being a nurse, all right. He had, instead of fuzzy dice hanging from his rearview mirror, he had his stethoscope. So here's George Von Keeley.
Hi, my name is Pukam George Von Keeley, and I'm a first-generation student at St. John Fisher College. I would like to start by reading a verse from the Bible in Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This teaches us that there's joy in the act of giving when it is done with pure motives. I am honored to be speaking today about the amazing program called Buddy Readers, where we help further develop the reading skills of students from kindergarten through fourth grade in Rochester's schools. Being a part of Buddy Readers, I felt that we were doing so much more than just helping our buddies read. We actually became a support figure in their lives. I have a quick story about a little buddy of mine named James. Every week, I would meet with James and with a fellow friend of mine, Dave, to read all sorts of books from dinosaurs to video games. I was saddened to hear from Marcy that during the last few sessions of Buddy Readers, when I could not be present, James was discouraged by the news that I would not be able to attend any more sessions. Although I was disheartened by the news, I was also happy to hear about how much of an impact I had in James' life. It was truly a blessing to read and have the time to spend with children like James. Many kids like myself do not have both parents in their lives. They need all the love and the help that they deserve. Being raised by a single mother myself, there were times when I needed someone. I was blessed to have had supportive people such as my coaches and teachers, who were always there for me when I needed it. This inspired me to want to become an active volunteer to my community and to give back in the same way my own coaches and teachers did for me. Lastly, I would like to end with John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. During a time in our lives where we see so much evil and hatred, I know that we can learn something from this story. No matter how different we may be from one another, we can always find a way to love and help each other, just as Jesus has commanded us to. Thank you.